Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine and I'm joined by my co-host Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Julie. How are you doing?
Well, great. How have you been this week?
Oh, it's been a wonderful weekend. Got out and did a lot of hiking this weekend and some huckleberry picking.
The last of the huckleberries?
I don't think so. If you know where to go, the season should extend at least another month.
Way to go. We've just got to go a little
bit
higher.
We found patches where the berries were great and patches where the bushes were just filled with the little green ones.
More berries to come. That's good news. Very good news. It's been so dry, I've been thinking maybe they're coming to an end. Well, I have not been doing any huckleberry picking because I've got company in town. Isn't that the story for Sandpoint residents in August?
Yeah, but they have the quota. Our company has at least a quart quota before they go. If they want to eat berries, they have to replenish them.
There you go. They can eat them if they pick them. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a very interesting show this morning. We're going to be joined by the Marine Division of the Bonner County Sheriff's Department with Ed Yoakum and his sergeant, Dan Albanese. We won't introduce them quite yet because we'll talk about weather, but they will be joining us shortly. So what is the weather going to be? Well, it looks like more of the same. Today's sunny with a high of 89, calm and becoming south winds around 6 miles an hour later on. Then tonight we're starting to have some haze and more of the same on Wednesday, hazy and a high of 87. We're all hoping for rain Wednesday night, and it looks like that's not going to be happening. Slight chance of showers, 20% for Wednesday night.
Still that high pressure ridge, which keeps the rain away and the smoke trapped in. Did you see the eclipse yesterday?
Well, I sure did. Did you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where were you, Phil?
Well, I was midway between the airport and here, but I pulled over to watch it safely with the eclipse glasses. They don't do so well when you're driving. So.
We did see an online warning not to wear the glasses while driving. We all got a chuckle out of
good
that.
Advice. But the crickets came out and the temperature dropped and it got a little darker.
We found the most interesting thing was the drop in temperature. That was pretty crazy in the middle of the day. Well, it looks like the rest of the week is sunny and clear, so just plan for more of the same high 80s into the low 90s next week. With that, I'll remind you all that you are listening to KRFY Community Radio for North Idaho, and if you're not able to hear our whole recording this morning, know that you can go online to krfy.org and find a podcast of this show. So hopefully you'll hear us today, but if not, you can always listen later. And with that, I would like to introduce our morning guest. We will hopefully have two guests before the show is over, but at the moment we have Bonner County Sheriff Department Lieutenant Ed Yoakum. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
So great to have you here.
No, thank you.
Yes. So I was telling those guys, I was telling Phil and Ed how I got the idea to have these gentlemen join us. And it's kind of funny. We're sitting at Garfield Bay signing and swimming, and there was something happening, something going on down on the dock, and their boat was there. My husband and the friend we were swimming with said, you know, to get those guys on the radio, they must have an interesting job. And I'll bet you all do have an interesting job, don't you, Ed?
Well, at times it can be. You just never know what the day is going to bring until the phone rings or the call comes across the computer.
I bet. Well, let's start out with a little bit of background. Can you tell us how you came to be working with the Sheriff's Department and particularly the Marine Division?
Yeah, I was involved in law enforcement in Idaho for the last 30 years. I was a state game warden, starting out in Idaho Falls for 15 years. And the last 15 years of my career, I was up here in Sandpoint, and then I knew Carrie Carolee and a number of the other deputies over there, and had expressed interest if Carrie ever moved on that I might be interested in stepping in his chair. So 5 years ago, the sheriff called me. I believe I was on vacation in Panama, and he called me and sent me an email, I guess, and said that Carrie's going to run for county commissioner. So the job's open. So I retired after, I believe, 31 years with Idaho Fish and Game. And so I've been serving this position since May of whatever that is, 2012.
Okay. Well, what a good background for Marine Division, I would think.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on the water ourselves, so I was fairly familiar with Priest, Pond Drain, and the rivers.
So give us a general overview of what the Marine Division does and what their focus is. I think for most people, or many people who are not on the lake, they just don't interact or see you all. So tell us how it's different than the others.
Sure. We kind of have a four-pronged approach. Safety, law enforcement, education, and search and rescue. So we try and balance all of those. So if you'll see the guys out there, we're not really heavy-handed in law enforcement. If there's especially if there's a safety violation, you may end up getting a citation. But typically, it's an educational type approach with the fellows.
So it's a huge lake. Do you hang out at the docks or go out on the boats? And how many deployment points are there?
Well, yeah, they a lot of times they'll start their shift at the boat ramps, talking to boaters, be sure they have all the safety equipment on board, and then they'll begin their shift and head out on the lake. And during the summer hours, we're out there every day on Ponderay. There's a boat there every day, and on the weekends, all the boats are out. Currently, we have 6 boats in the fleet. But we're down one. We blew an engine when that airplane crashed in the river about a month ago. We ran the engine pretty hot getting down there, and it's got 4,000 hours on it, so it's due to be replaced anyway. So we'll repower that boat this winter. So we're down one boat on the river. So we've got 4 on Ponderay and 1 on Priest.
Mm. And what about nighttime? Are you on call, something like that? What happens at night?
Yes, we obviously don't patrol basically after dark, but we are on call 24/7. During the summer hours, we have what we call an on-call officer, and he takes the fields of calls, and then we'll take the appropriate response. We need to call guys out. A lot of times what happens is EMS might need to run over to Lakeview or the backside of Lake Whiskey Rock or something like that at the campground. And it's a lot quicker for us for those guys to jump on a boat in Garfield Bay and run across, or the road guys, the deputies may need us to help them in a similar situation, mm-hmm. and so we'll facilitate their needs, whatever they are.
Yeah, you mentioned that your support for fire and rescue, that you guys have the boats, right? They don't.
Right, and we'll probably run 6 or 7 trips across the lake. During the course of a year, supporting EMS.
Yeah. And just generally, what takes up the most time for the men on the water? What do they spend the most time doing?
Looking out the windshield. No, it's typical law enforcement. It's not the glamorous job that everybody might think it is.
Right.
It gets hot in those boats. There's no air conditioning. Fortunately, there's not enough windows to open.
So it's not like Sandpoint's version of Baywatch.
No. No, it's not.
So what is a typical day like, a typical shift? I'm sure there isn't a typical one. It probably is widely varied. But draw a picture for us of what one of the folks might encounter.
Sure. They don't get started typically very early in the morning because the boaters typically wait till it gets warm. Obviously, you have fishermen out there at 0-30 and things like that. But the fishermen around here, they know the lake and they know how to take care of themselves. And we don't have very few issues with fishermen. And the local boaters, they know the lake, they know the issues. So typically the shifts are going to start between 10 and noon, and they have 8-hour shifts. Of course, if they get into something late in the shift, they stay until it's done. They'll usually start their shift at the ramp and maybe do some boat inspections and then head out. And all of the vessels have onboard computers. That's how we're dispatched. So there could be pending calls that they have to respond to. And then they'll just basically, no different than terrestrial law enforcement, they're just going to go out and cruise around and make contacts as they see fit and respond to calls.
Hmm. And I'm just wondering, is there a mission statement that the sheriff's department has? Is it a different, and is it different from the guys in the cars? Are you all in the Marine any different from?
Yeah. We're similar in a lot of ways, but we do have a unique mission in a sense. And I'll just read our mission statement that's in our standard operating procedures. The mission of the Marine Division is to provide a safe and enjoyable boating environment on the waterways of Bonner County. The means to accomplish this end is through a balanced approach of law enforcement, boat safety education, search and rescue, and other emergency and community services. So it's a wide-ranging
mission statement, yeah, but it covers all the bases.
It sounds too mostly like it's operational stuff rather than, say, enforcing fish and game laws.
No, the Marine deputies actually have limited law enforcement authority. They cannot enforce fish and game laws. They basically can enforce the boating statutes in Idaho Code and the county ordinances related to the lakes.
So they can't check your fishing license?
No, they can't. They can ask for it, but they can ask if you have one.
They can't, but they can't arrest you.
No, that. They can't take that enforcement action.
So it sounds like there's some specialized training they'd need to go through in order to work for the department.
Yeah, all the deputies will go through the 80-hour, two-week Marine Academy. There's one academy held in Coeur d'Alene and one in Boise every May. So all of the officers go through the academy, and then we follow that up with a lot of in-house training.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Coeur d'Alene and Boise. So what other bodies of water? I would imagine like Coeur d'Alene has a Marine Division. Are there other places in Idaho that have a Marine Division?
Yeah. Coeur d'Alene has a substantial Marine contingent. But the two largest contingents in the state are in Kootenai and Bonner County. We get the lion's share of the money. We in Bonner County are blessed with all the water. We have 21 or 22% of the navigable waterways in the state of Idaho. Mm. So I get 22% of the state's money.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's nice.
Yeah, and I think to put it in perspective, I believe the between Lake Pendre and Priest Lake alone, the 9% of the county is covered with water.
What does that translate into in terms of staff? How many deputy sheriffs, or are they considered deputy sheriffs? It sounds like we've got a sergeant coming in, but how many law enforcement staff are there then?
Yeah, they're considered deputies. When I'm at full staff, I've got 20. There's 20 of us. So I haven't been at full staff for a couple summers. We're at 16 this year, and hopefully we'll staff up and be near that 20. For next spring.
And Phil started talking about this, that it takes specialized training, of course, to work in your division. But what sort of backgrounds do you find your sheriffs are coming from in order to do this work?
It's kind of a smorgasbord over there. With the 16 officers on staff now, actually 50% of them have prior law enforcement. And that's with city and county. Most law enforcement. One of my deputies is worked for Homeland Security. He was a deputy director for Homeland Security, the Border Patrol. He's a helicopter and fixed wing pilot, very, very talented gentleman. He works on the river. And then the rest of the guys, the other eight guys, highly varied backgrounds, accountants. One of them is retired Army, Annapolis graduate, another Annapolis graduate. So, highly varied, but that's what we like.
And are you always looking for people with boating experience, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. That's something we can train. We just don't turn you loose on the boats. It may be 2 or 3 years before you are able to operate a boat alone. And one of the promotional levels within our division is boat captains. So we have, within the 20 officers contingent, there are 8 boat captains. But everybody gets a lot of stick time, and because we need to pass that knowledge on, and there's no better way to get that experience is just to do it on the lake.
I would think so. You mentioned Lake Pendre and the river and Priest Lake. Are those the only areas you patrol, or do you get on the other lakes too?
Not as often as we should. We occasionally get down to Coquitlala Lake and run around that, but we are just so busy on the major lakes and waterways that we don't get those worked as much as they should.
Sure, a lot of water to cover with your staff.
Right, Pendre Lake is over I think 111 miles of shoreline. Of course, it's not all ours, but the vast majority of it is ours. And almost by default, we do cover the south end of the lake in Kootenai County because they don't have much of a presence there. They're so busy at Lake Coeur d'Alene that they don't get there. And so we do respond to calls down there.
Hmm. So you mentioned the state funding getting 22%. Is it funded by the state rather than the county then, or is it a combination of fundings?
Yeah, it is actually a combination of fundings, two funding sources. We don't really get any tax money, and that's, I'll put that in quotations. Our funding source is when you register your boat, the vessel registration money, we get a portion of that, And then the other source is a federal gas tax. So that is this tax in a sense. So that's parceled out on a formula that does take into account our amount of water. So with those two funding sources, and you never know how many people are going to register a boat, and you never know how many people are going to be buying gas. So those figures range from $230,000 to $250,000 a year to run my program.
Okay. Doesn't sound that large, I hate to say.
Well, it's not. Obviously, your biggest expense is staff, and then the next largest portion of that is fuel, and we'll burn $25,000 worth of fuel in the summer.
And staffing, is it year round or is it seasonal then, or adjusted seasonally anyway?
Yeah, it's kind of adjustedly seasonal. Most of the guys come on in late May, and we'll work through Labor Day, and then we'll tail off significantly in September. But we can often get nice weather in September, so we're kind of out there. The schedules kind of end at the end of August, but then we kind of look out the window and look at the weather, and hey, let's put a couple boats out today. So it's going to be nice.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY and Ponderate, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And this morning, we're talking with Lieutenant Ed Yoakum from the Bonner County Sheriff's Department's Marine Division. And I must say, I expected you to be a lot more tan. Is your typical day on the water, or are you stuck doing administrative chores?
Well, I'm not stuck doing administrative chores, but I like to say I drive a desk. I don't patrol in the water actively.
I'm sure the administrative burden is large for any sheriff's department.
Well, it can be at times, just fighting fires and keeping equipment running and keeping the guys happy.
Yeah, no, a staff that large takes a lot of work just to coordinate.
Yes, sir.
And so what's the relationship with the rest of the Bonner County Sheriff's Department? Tell us about that.
Well, we do support those guys, especially the road deputies. In the event they have a vehicle go in the lake, which occasionally happens, or the river, or they get somebody that's on the run, and oftentimes they're running along the river or the lake, so we'll provide eyes from that vantage point. And as mentioned earlier, we take EMS and law enforcement across the lake if needed. And then we also support the dive team. The Bonner County Sheriff has a 10-man dive team that we assist. They're very capable to do things on their own, but when they need our help, we do assist them.
Mm. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your equipment. You mentioned the boats and that one is out, one is being repaired. Is that the main equipment that you use with Marine Division, or do you have other technologies you work with?
Well, we have a couple other vessels. We have two jet skis that we acquired a few years ago that we use for special events, and when staffing allows, we'll run those on patrol, especially like in Upper Priest Lake and things like that, or we'll take them to the small lakes to, if we do whatever, run around Kokalala real quick. That's a good way to do it, and we don't want to drag our boats are moored in the lake all the time, so we're not pulling them out in and out. They're too big to do that.
And these boats are pretty impressive. Tell us a little bit more about them. They're steel boats, aren't they?
Yeah, they're welded aluminum boats, and they run from our smallest boat's a 24-footer, and then they run up to just over 30 feet.
Hmm.
So they're big and heavy, and they're all powered by Honda 225s, and we've actually, when we're repowering, we're going to 250s. They don't cost very much more, and the weight is negligible when you go up 25 horsepower.
Can you catch up with all the boats that are trying to get away from you with those boats?
No. No, that's why we have radios. Our boats aren't known to be very fast. They're big and cumbersome and seen from many miles away. But I think top speed probably, is mid-30s.
Hmm. That's still pretty fast.
Yeah. You could probably catch up to someone's trying to run and hide. There's only so many places they can go.
Yeah. Except the real fast boat's going to leave us in the dust pretty quick.
We've mentioned that the job does tend to be somewhat seasonal, but there must be some winter duties for the sheriffs. Are there marine winter duties?
Yeah, we do leave a boat on the water year-round, and that's the Garfield Bay boat, because it's deep water moorage, and it tends not to freeze down there in the bay unless it's extremely cold. But wintertime is geared entirely to maintenance, and then we do start hiring people and doing the interview process, which is quite rigorous during the summer. But obviously, we're backed off way in the summer, and they're just two or three of us around doing that maintenance. You can imagine with the boats as large as they are and as, with all the equipment on them, there's lots of things that break, need replaced, need upgraded.
Lots of maintenance then, yep. Maintenance and interviewing, that sort of thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I don't think I asked you this question yet, Ed, but what you are, I know you drive a desk, you told us that now, but what have you liked about working on the water? It sounds like it would be a really unique sheriff's job.
Well, it is. I actually ask the guys when they come in and interview, and a lot of them, like I say, about 50% of them are retired law enforcement. And in fact, most of the crew are retired folks. You know, this isn't a job that a 30-year-old, I mean, obviously he can do it, but I put so much time and money into training them that, and it's a seasonal job. They're not going to be here next summer. And we just can't afford to put it. Now, Kootenai County, they use that as their entry-level position. If you want to be a deputy for Kootenai County, you start in the Marine Division, and that's kind of your basic training. We haven't chosen that philosophy. And then what happens in Kootenai County is they will bring back road deputies to help in the summer because they don't have that many coming. They'll have like half a dozen guys. And so my program's three times as large as theirs, but they'll use their road deputies to come and help. We don't have that luxury in Bonner County. Our road deputies are so busy during the summertime that there's no way they can help us.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it sounds like rather than entry level, this is something that's a senior level almost. Retire and then come work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when I ask these guys when interviewing, why do you want to, you had a career. Why do you want to come back to work and work in the summer at, the best time of the year in Sandpoint? You want to go to work, really? And most of them just want to give back to the public, and frankly, the wages aren't that great. It turns out to be beer money. Nobody's getting rich working as a Marine deputy.
You know, it's interesting, but I hear that from so many of our folks that work in safety everywhere, even in Minnesota where I came from. I have friends that are firefighters, and it's not about earning money, is it? It's about giving back and helping the community. So I should just say right now how much we appreciate your work, because without you all would have, I'm sure, many, many more emergency, terrible things happening.
Are there periods of time during the summer that are more exciting than others? I'm imagining that the festival draws out a lot of late night boaters that might create a heightened need for presence.
You know, frankly, the festival has been pretty quiet. We haven't had issues with those folks at all. We had a couple boats out there late at night. They had fireworks this year, so we put a boat out there on the fireworks. But no problems with that crowd at all. Actually, you know, it's the surprises that you never count on. We had a boat accident on Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday night, 1 o'clock in the morning, a boat hit Papaloose Island up at on Priest Lake at 1 in the morning. So that was kind of a long night for some of the guys, and we all got phone calls and started rallying things, and they were hurt pretty bad, but no fatalities.
So it's the surprises rather than the predictable weekends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Obviously, the weekends are busier.
Yeah.
And our busiest time really is July 20th to August 20th. And then, people go home after the 20th of August. They're going back to school, and things are winding down, and the temperature kind of cools down.
Mm-hmm. We've had folks on talking about the increased number of wakeboarding boats with the big wakes and all that sort of thing. Do you get involved at all in that controversy, I guess it would be?
Yeah, we're actually helping in the campaign to tell these folks about the wakeboarders, the wake surfers, that they could be causing problems and they need to be aware of what they're doing. And one of the major issues on the forefront is the wake boats on especially Ponderay River, but it's not entirely in Ponderay River, but they do cause a lot of damage. And we hear from lots of folks, shoreline homeowners are not happy at all about that. So there's no easy answer. There's no easy answer to that.
Continued education. So we'll say it here, ride the core, avoid the shore.
You got it in before I did, Phil. I was about to say that. Very good.
Somebody had to say it.
That's right. Well, for those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY. It's community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. We're being joined this morning by Lieutenant Ed Yoakum. He's with the Marine Division of Bonner County Sheriff's Department. And we're going to take a short music break, and then we'll come back with some additional questions and comments from Ed. So let's take a break. And that was Band on the Run by Paul McCartney and Wings. Kind of appropriate for the Sheriff's Department and a radio station, don't you think, Phil?
Yeah, I don't think I think of the Marine deputies as on the run, but maybe they're chasing someone in a cigar boat.
The band is on the run, not the Sheriff's Department. Anyway, we're not on the run, but we are here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. And if you're just joining us, we are being joined by Lieutenant Ed Yoakum. He heads up the Marine Division of the Bonner County Sheriff's Department. And we've been talking about, everything related to the Sheriff's Department, but we've got a few more questions for him. He's not done yet.
Yeah, I'd like to lead off. You mentioned, I think, one of the aspects of the mission is education and outreach. And so are there opportunities to educate folks about things they need to know on the lake? I'm thinking here, aquatic invasive species have been such a huge part of Bonner County's water approach or approach to our lakes over the last years, from quagga mussels to milfoil. Are there opportunities for the Marine Division to get involved with helping to educate boaters on good practices?
Yeah, just in our routine contacts, so that's one of their directives is to see that those stickers are affixed. And they do carry some handouts that they can pass out to public that are curious about those things.
Mm-hmm. That's
so pretty important that we keep our lakes clean. Once those things get started, it's a hill we'll never surmount.
Yes, and we're lucky to have additional checking stations this year. I'm happy to see them up and running. I need to let everyone know that we've been joined by Sergeant Dan. Is it Albanese, Dan?
That's close enough.
Well, you can correct me. It's no problem.
That's
but
okay.
Dan, good. Dan is joining us, and we're happy to have him. He's a sergeant for the Marine Division. And Dan, do you work on the water, or are you also driving a desk?
A little bit of both.
Very good.
A little bit of both. Fill in wherever I can. Spent the first 8 years with the department driving a boat.
It's a whole lot harder to fish from the desk, though.
It is
scout
very
good
much
fishing
so.
Places.
Very much yeah. so.
That's right. Well, we've been saving something for you, Dan, and that's to tell us a bit about the history of the Marine Division in Bonner County. So if you would like to share that, we'd love to hear about it.
Sure. It'd be great. I'd like to. Well, the Marine Division goes back to the early 60s when the federal government, i.e. the Coast Guard, decided to give up patrolling federally controlled waters. At that time, most of the states had to allocate the resources that they used to spend on the Coast Guard. Well, those resources were given over to the states. A gentleman here in town, Harry Mitchell, was the first individual. He was a local gentleman who actually started the Marine Division. He bought the first two boats in, the early 80s. He bought what we have right now, Marine 1 and Marine 4, were acquired by him. And he was the first Marine deputy. The money that the federal government used to spend on the Coast Guard activities on the lake was then allocated to the state. And actually, that was what became how the Parks Department, came about. This money came into the state and they needed to do something with it. So they set up a parks department. And then from there, the money came to the county. Well, the county needed an organization to accept the funding. And that was the beginning of the Marine Division.
Hmm.
So it goes back to that actual change in authority on the lake as far as patrolling the lake. When the money came into the county, then they had money that was to go to law enforcement, or the carry laws, as we call them, what you have to carry on your boat, and the maintenance of navigation aids. So again, in that regard, the money was split between the Marine Division and waterways. And the two allocated that money then out to our department.
And it's obviously grown since that time from two boats up to the current seven
boats plus two PWCs.
Mm-hmm. It would seem to me you'd have better coverage locally than using the Coast Guard.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as I was talking to a couple individuals yesterday, and what the Coast Guard used to do was once a year they drive their boat from Bayview to Sandpoint, checking on the navigation aids, those around probably the islands. And that was it. That was their patrol of the lake back then.
So not much interaction, really.
No, yeah. Not really.
No, and better use of our funds, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
So going back to the mission of educating the boating public, do you have the opportunity then to set up boating classes so that folks know how to operate safely on the lake and how to carry the right gear and equipment?
We do set up, we have regular classes. Boat Idaho course is given on a regular basis. We don't see the enthusiasm that we'd like to see because, as I don't know if Ed mentioned, there's not a operator's license required for boating in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you don't see a lot of individuals coming forward to take the course, but certainly should be a requirement.
Seems like there's a great educational opportunity to really stress that people gain that knowledge, even if it's not a license requirement.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this is an activity where you can go in and spend $150,000 on a boat, and they hand you the keys, and it'll do 80 miles an hour, and you have no requirement to take any kind of a course to better your skills on the water. And the water here is big, so it requires some skills.
How about kids? Even kids, young children, aren't required to take water safety? Or
No, nothing? No.
Okay.
In fact, a number of counties in the state of Idaho, there isn't even a law as far as age to drive a boat.
So are there places people can go to for more information, a website or a phone number if they are listening and want to find out about classes? They're going to encourage their partner, friend, spouse to, hey, get out there and take a class.
Yeah, you can go to Idaho Parks and Rec is a good place to begin. A good source for information on classes and taking the class online if you'd like to, or actually going in person to a class. That's where I'd begin my search for education in boating. They also post when the classes are, not only in Bonner County, but other counties too.
So tell us more about the continued relationship then, it sounds like, not only with the sheriff, Bonner County Sheriff's Division, but also the Department of Parks and Rec.
Well, we have the relationship is ongoing all the time. We're posting information back and forth between each other as far as safety and accidents. We do, like I say, the courses. We have a ongoing reporting system as far as accident reporting. The Coast Guard wants to know if anyone's been involved in an accident, whether it's an injury beyond first aid or involves a certain amount of money, $1,500 in damage. But statistically, we send a lot of information to Parks and Rec. It's one of the ways that we our department is funded, since we do not collect or do not receive taxpayer money directly from property taxes or from the county. All the money we get is derived from the money that is collected either in gasoline taxes from the Coast Guard or from registrations. When you get your registration for your boat and you click off the county you boat in, that money is then allocated to our county.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear how you're funded. I had no idea. How about contact numbers? I'm assuming that 911 is the main call if something's going on that we need you for, but I imagine we can also call your office for a question or a...
If you have a question, yes, you can always call the sheriff's department. So,
to me, it raises a really interesting question, and hopefully folks out of the lake have some navigational system. If there's an accident on the lake and they call it in, is it common they're able to give you a GPS pointer? Are they describing it as 2 miles off Hawkins Point?
That's probably the bulk of people don't even know where they are on the lake sometimes. I mean, we have we're misguided quite a bit of time. As more and more boats are getting larger and larger, they're more sophisticated, and we see the more people having GPS on board and can tell us where they are. But a lot of boaters do not have the equipment or know how to operate it.
And so we think of search and rescue a lot of times in the mountains as there's a medical emergency, someone's twisted their ankle or worse. But out on the lake, it might be a mechanical problem. They're simply stranded because their engine won't start. Do you respond to those calls as well?
Well, we respond in kind. Over the last few years, we've seen the advent of more and more individuals doing tow services on the lake. And we are not here to compete against those companies. So if you're out on the lake and if you have an engine failure, you're going and you call in for assistance, your first direction is going to be to one of the commercial tow services that's available. Mm-hmm. We'll get involved to make sure you're safe and to make sure you're not going on the rocks or you're not sinking. But for the most part, we always suggest that you carry boater's insurance for towing on your insurance policy, and that you have a friend that you can call in case you get in trouble.
Sure. Well, much like the highway, we don't expect the sheriff's department to tow us somewhere, nope. So I guess we shouldn't on the water either.
That's correct. And, you know, you can flag somebody down. I mean, this is part of the Coast Guard's rules of the road that you you do lend assistance to a boater in distress.
Sounds like the perfect way to go. Mm-hmm. During our song break, Ed, you were mentioning that there's been a change in the noise ordinance. Would you like to tell us about that?
Well, there's hasn't been a change. There's a proposed change. And let me give you a little background. This originated from the folks, a small group of homeowners in the Priest Lake area. Last August, this was brought to before the Waterways Board, that they're concerned about noise emanating from not from the vessels, loud engine noise and music. And if you think back 10 years ago, we didn't have big 12-inch speakers mounted on the rails and directional sound blasting out. And so the folks up there, especially after hours, after dark, 1-2 in the morning, and sitting and blasting music out from the middle of the lake. And it has upset some people. So they brought that to the Waterways Board, and that worked through the system. And in July of this year, that manifested itself in a proposed ordinance to try and get a handle on the noise.
Makes sense.
It does. I mean, think about it. Growing up on a lake as a child, you could be sitting on your dock at home and someone would be just talking in their boat and you could hear it as clear as a bell. So loud music, I imagine, can be very disturbing.
Yeah. As you pointed out, noise travels quite well over water. So this new proposed ordinance is quite significant in that if you can hear it 200 feet away, you're in violation. So mm-hmm. that's music. And that's also talking, hollering, singing. It's a pretty all-encompassing ordinance. Mm. So whatever your feelings are on this, the county commissioners are having a public hearing on September 7th at 9 a.m. September 7th at 9 a.m. So this proposed ordinance not only affects Priest Lake, but this will affect all bodies of water within the county. So whatever your feelings on this, if you would like your opinion, you need to show up at that public mm-hmm. hearing, or I would assume that the county commissioners will take written emails, and they'll take that into consideration if you can't make the meeting. But I want to encourage the public to be involved regardless of what side they're on.
Yeah, that's always a good recommendation. Mm-hmm. And just one more question about that. Are the noise levels different daytime versus nighttime or not?
No, this proposed ordinance does not designate a time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd like to talk just a bit more about safety before we finish up here. And we are, at some point, we're running short on time, not quite yet. But let's just talk safety, because it seems to me that that must be your biggest message that you're wanting to send out to everyone. And I think that maybe alcohol plays a part in safety on the waters.
It does. It plays a great part on the water, especially on the, drinking on the water. We have what's known as stressors. I don't know if you've ever been out on a boat on a hot day, cruising around, having a drink. You feel the effects of that drink much quicker on a boat, and more severely, I think, than sitting in front of your TV watching television. And those stressors have to do with wind, motion, sun, engine noise. All this accumulates and has an effect to heighten the effect of the alcohol. So driving under the influence is illegal. One of the biggest questions we ever have or get is, can I have a drink and still drive my boat? Or is it as in a car where an open container gets you in trouble? On a boat, you can be driving your boat and still have a drink. You can be having your beer and driving your boat. However, if you, based on those stressors, if you become impaired, and we can tell you're impaired, then you get a boating under the influence charge. So, although it's fun to have a drink or two, three or four can be an issue.
Sure. And is it treated the same way as driving while impaired? Is there an alcohol breath test or anything
like
that?
There is, and all our deputies and our vessels are equipped with, as they call, life locks, which are our alcohol sensors. So for measuring alcohol content in the breath.
Okay.
So, and breathalyzers as such.
Yeah, the consequences can be as severe, if not more so, because you have this powerful machine, and
you do, and it, you know, and you combine that with, like I say, with drinking at night. If any of us have been on the big lake, know when darkness falls on this lake and it's a moonless night, there's no telling land from sea, and quite easy to get yourself in trouble, to get turned around, to go in the wrong direction, and end up possibly on shore. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a bit about alcohol, and that is an important issue, important to be safe while boating. Any other major safety issues you deal with regularly?
Well, the biggest issue we do deal with, safety or not, are wake violations, getting too close to shore. Bonner County is 200-foot no-wake zone all around the lake, and that's 200 feet from the shoreline or from the end of a person's dock. So keep in the back of your head that you're basically looking at a football field, let's say, away from the shore or from a dock when you're cruising along. And by no-wake, we mean that you can't be going more than 5 miles an hour or creating a wake, which I've been asked what's a wake on occasion. That's a little, you know, a little wave in back of your boat that can't be more than 6 inches high. So anyway, there you go. That's probably the biggest call we get is for wake violations. And they've become more and more prevalent because of wake boats and wake surfing. So we hear a lot of that, a lot of complaints on that issue.
Any other suggestions or tips for people out on the water operating a boat or in the presence of boat operators?
Well, I think the biggest tip here in on our lake is to keep a weather eye. Look at the weather forecast before you leave shore or go out for a day of boating. If they're calling for high winds or gusty winds or issues as far as what the weather might be in the afternoon, keep that in the back of your head. Keep a weather eye to the south and to the west, because that's where most of our bad weather comes from this time of year. The other handy thing to have on board your boat is a small VHF radio, which you can get relatively inexpensively now, a little portable, and that can help you as far as flagging assistance or calling for assistance if you're out on the lake. Again, the big lake has very little cell phone coverage, and it's pretty much once you turn the corner at Anderson Point and start heading south, you're going to lose cell phone coverage. So you're the only way you have of contacting an individual might be with your ski flag or with a small VHF handheld radio. And as technology has advanced, these radios have gotten less and less expensive. So you can buy one of these little portables for like $60 and be a little safer than the next guy.
Well, that is good advice, because I think most of us feel that we can just have cell coverage wherever we go, and particularly on the lakes. That's great, great mm-hmm. advice yep. for those who aren't familiar with the lake. Now, I know it's a serious business to be in the Marine Division of the Sheriff's Department, but you must have, from time to time, something funny that happens. Would either of you like to share a lighthearted story? Do you happen to have any? Oh, dear. Have I asked the question they can't answer?
I'm trying to think of one. You know, I'm blank right now.
Funny or unusual. Your most interesting, unusual.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we had an opportunity. Winter before, we got a call about a gentleman that had lost his hunting dogs over on the Green Monarchs. He had two hunting dogs that were collared, so they had GPS locators on them, and he said that they were tracking a bobcat or something over on the Green Monarchs, and the dogs just took off. Well, they went down the side of the greens and ended up at the bottom of the down along the water's edge. And these two dogs could not get themselves out yet. Mm. So it was very steep, to say the least, a precipice that they went over. Mm. And it was getting down to 17 below at night that winter.
Oh, my.
And we got involved when one of the owners tried to launch a small 17-foot boat to go out and recover his dogs. Well, the lake was rough, and there was no way this gentleman, was going to get past 200 feet offshore before he sank. So we were called through another individual, and we went out and went looking for these two pups. And we didn't think, this was 3 days after they'd been out for 3 nights. We thought, we'll never recover these two animals. But lo and behold, after going down to the greens and yelling for them and calling their names, finally, we're just about ready to give up when here comes one of the animals out onto the shoreline. And luckily enough, we put our bow into the onshore and were able to bring these dogs back to their owner. And they were happy to see us.
That's a nice happy ending, I think.
Yes, it is. And who doesn't love a successful dog rescue story? Yeah. That's my kind of story.
Well, thank you both for coming in this morning.
I'm glad I could make it.
We are happy to have you, too. I want to thank you both for joining us, Lieutenant Ed Yoakum and Sergeant Dan Albanese from the Marine Division of the Bonner County Sheriff. I hope we'll talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'll take a music break and come back with just a little time left to talk about upcoming events. Let's hear Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places. And that was Garth Brooks with Friends in Low Places. And because our interview was so very interesting, we ran on a bit. Only we'll have time today to talk about upcoming morning shows.
We got a couple good morning shows coming up, don't we?
Yes, we do. So tomorrow we're going to be having our normal show host, Chris Bessler, and Susie Prez. Susie is back, and the guests will be teachers and administrators from the Sandpoint Waldorf School. That's going to be tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And then Thursday, Phil, we'll be having Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and their guest will be Bill Collier talking about his book, Air America, CIA Pilot Spills the Beans. And that's Thursday at 8 a.m. How about next Tuesday?
You're abandoning me again next Tuesday. I think I'm solo.
Going fishing.
Will we talk about hiking and walking? Jim Mellon, a local author of two good guidebooks, is going to be in talking about his favorite trails in the Selkirks, the Cabinets, and the Sandpoint Historic Walking Tour. People are going to come in and talk about that. It'll be a good show for walking and talking and hiking.
It's so true. Well, that's about it for us this week. I want to ask you all to have a great next week. Join Phil if you can, and we'll see you in